Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue today on a little theme that began yesterday, a simple truth that if we internalize it, if we accept it, we accept this great truth that God has given to us, the simple things are often the greatest things, that God delights in you. God delights in me. Through the work of Jesus, his redemption, what we're about to celebrate just weeks away, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. The Father has sent the Son to deal with everything that separates us from God, to deal with the sin problem that produces the death problem, to bring us from death to life. And God looks at each one of us, seeing us through the end game, through the ultimate destiny that each one of us has been given and we have access to now in Christ. We who were made in the heart and mind of the Father, who brought us into being, every one of us being different, every one of us being unique, every one of us sharing in the glorious destiny of being drawn into relationship and communion with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to being drawn out of a fallen world and into a new creation that Jesus himself has established. But the Father sees us differently than we see ourselves. And this is what Jesus came to tell us, to show us. He showed us by demonstrating the love, first by demonstrating what love looks like. First, his humbling himself, to become one of us, to enter into his own story, and to teach us everything about the Father. He said, "Is to see Jesus is to see the Father." Jesus wants us to understand what he understands, and he understands and knows and lives in and lives from the love of the Father. Jesus is freedom, Jesus is joy, Jesus' entire life, his wisdom, everything comes from and flows from his relationship to the Father. Jesus has come to make it possible for you and for me to experience and to walk in the transformed reality of being brought from slaves, you know, to sons, to be from slaves to daughters, to become children of God, and to live in his love and to know that love. And so Jesus was so clear. He spoke to us. He said, "As the Father loves me, so I love you." The one who was raised, the one who we celebrate, who is God incarnate, who Paul talks about with such power, the reality of who Jesus is, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily in Jesus. He's God among us. He's God with us. God united to human flesh in the person of Jesus, the divine life. And so John would celebrate and say that what we've seen, what we've touched, what we declare to you, brothers and sisters, the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. God has come. He's drawn near to us. He's come to us. And so we, with great joy, we can sing, not just because we observe an event, but we penetrate by God's grace and we understand the meaning of that event. That God's coming in the flesh is his action to save us. His coming toward us is to transform us and to make it possible for each one of us to have an eternal destiny, to share in the gift that Jesus has with the Father, the love between the Father and the Son and the power and the life of the Holy Spirit. That's what he brings to us. That's why we sing and we will sing. Hopefully we can sing with all our hearts on Christmas this year in church in the different services. Tidings of great joy have come to us that God has entered life, this life, and he's entered this life for a purpose, to lift us up, to transform us, to make us something new, to make us a new creation, so that life, the life of God, can be born in us, so we can be born again of water and the Spirit. And this is what happens to us in baptism. And so Jesus reveals to us, to see me is to see the Father. And what you see in me, I want to tell you what motivates me, what moves me, Jesus said, is my love for the Father. He's my very food. To obey him is my delight. My union with him is my great joy, my security, my identity, no matter what this world that comes after me, it lies. We know what happened to Jesus. We know what those who should have known better but couldn't know because of the reality of the power of sin and death at work in them, who Jesus is. And from the cross, Jesus perfectly communicates to us the limitlessness of his love. You see Jesus' arm stretched out. You see him crucified. His love for you is infinite in measure. It's eternal in its duration. And this is Jesus is revealing to us the love of the Father, God himself, who is love. And our wounded, sinful nature draws back, is afraid of that light. And it's only with God's, because of the sin, because of shame, like Adam and Eve in the garden, when they disobeyed God, they went and hid, and they clothed themselves, and have that astounding phrase, where they're hiding, and they've covered themselves, and God says, who told you you were naked? Shame came upon them, and the power of sin got released, and they became slaves and under the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. And God became a threat to them, and they were afraid of God in the wrong kind of way, not a healthy fear of God. Jesus, the second Adam, came, and we rejoice because we know he's the one who turned it all around. He's accomplished it, and we as a people rejoice. We don't get caught up in the circumstances of our lives in the sense that the troubled waters that we're all swimming in right now, politically, culturally, in the church and otherwise, we understand with renewed minds what we've been given, and nothing will separate us from this love. Jesus saying, as the Father has loved me, I'm telling you, I love you. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. And Jesus' great prayer in John 17, Father, he prayed that the world may know that you, Father, have loved them as you love me. This is, friends, the destiny that we're called to live in. You know, ultimately we'll be absolutely transformed, raised to glory in the presence of God, the Father and the Son, and we're going to share in what belongs to them, and he's going to free us from everything that holds us back. But in this world, there's a battle that we can fight. And in the reason I want to touch on this again in different ways is so that in order for us to live differently right now in such troubled and difficult times, when the whole society is fragmenting, it's dividing, it's characterized by rage and anger and violence, that's darkness. Those are shadows coming over the human heart, and human beings living as slaves in fear, and they're under domination of the one who divides, the murderer, the liar, that Jesus said. We are meant now to live differently in this moment and not be caught up in the culture of rage, because no matter what happens in the world, no matter what injustices we see or the political deceptions and corruptions and confusion, those ultimately don't determine how I'm going to behave. Those things are powerful, and they can be overwhelming, and they can be very frightening and aggravating. But if we're alive in Christ, as we've put on Christ, or in Colossians 2:6, Paul said, therefore, you who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, now live in him. You've received Jesus Christ as Lord. You're not your own anymore. You belong to him. You've come to see who he is and that love and the delight that he has in you. He wants us to pay attention now, especially. This is why we need, friends, quiet. This is why we need silence. This is why we need to pray. We need the Word of God. We need the help of the sacraments to hear the voice of the Spirit within you. God's love has been poured into your heart, and you know you're not a slave. You know nothing in this world can ultimately hold you, that your life is in the hands of a loving God, and his power's in you. There is a power in you that's greater and the power that's in the world. But because we've also known our weakness, because we know our sin, it affects how we approach God. It often determines, you know, whether or not we believe in God's mercy. He delights to show his mercy to you. When we repent of our sin and we turn, he throws it away. He doesn't hold it. He doesn't keep a list. He knows your frame. He knows your weakness. And our temptation, friends, is to run away from him rather than running to him. When that happens, that's the mind of a slave. We're afraid. We're like a slave who's afraid he's going to be beaten in some way. But he's been caught, he's going to be severely punished. The problem is, if we live under that fear, a slavish fear, not the heart of a child who knows he's loved and forgiven. And that's what this whole event of the incarnation is about. The understanding, the revelation, the joy we celebrate that God has come to make it possible for us to be children and not slaves, to be free and not to stand condemned. Because we know now in Christ there is no condemnation. But if we don't lay hold of it and we don't believe it, we don't walk in it through the Holy Spirit, and we stand before God in shame. Friends, there's a principle. I've heard it said by various people. It's really true. If we feel dirty before God, we will live dirty. If we feel clean, we will live clean. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And that blood is God's love flowing over you. And as I said at the end of yesterday's program from Isaiah, it's in Jeremiah, it's in Zephaniah, it's in Deuteronomy. God delights in you. God rejoices over you. Zephaniah 3:17, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. God rejoices over you because he sees your destiny. He's not surprised by your present life that you're battling through, but he sees the destiny of what his beloved son has won for you. And what no one can take away from you unless you surrender it yourself. We can walk and live differently now, friends, in these really turbulent and difficult times if we receive who we are in Christ. Hebrews 10, so therefore having boldness to enter the holy place of God in his presence by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and with full assurance of faith that the Father welcomes us. Lord, we pray today. I pray for each person who's listening by the miracle of the anointing of the Spirit that we can see ourselves, that each person listening can see himself or herself the way you do, with the delight and the joy that's in your heart. Holy Spirit, only you can help us. Only you can make it possible for us to really see and to believe in such a love, in such mercy, with confident assurance that all the difficult circumstances in our lives are temporary. And now we can walk in strength and the assurance that we're in your hands. Lord, help us see, know, believe in, walk in the assurance and the experience that you delight in us. Lord, touch our emotions, touch our mind, touch our hearts, and take away the shame and the weight of darkness so we can be a light in a world that's fallen. Come, Holy Spirit. Friends, have a blessed day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.